Amen. We have such a strong reverence and honor for our veterans. Can you please stand if you have served our country, our nation? If you are a veteran in the house, thank you very much for your service. Anybody else? We honor you. We respect you. Thank you for all that you do for this country. Why don't we just take a moment and pray for our veterans and those that are overseas currently serving? Father, we just come before you as a church body right now. I thank you, Father, for those that have given their time, sacrificed their lives, Father, sacrificed maybe a Christmas morning or a sweet 16 birthday or the birth of their child. Oh, Father, we right now lift up men and women across our land, Father, those that have not only given their life, their time, but literally sometimes their life. Father, we pray for protection, supernatural protection, those serving currently. Father, those that are on the reserve. Father, those that have come home and are still dealing with the aftermath of their sacrifice, we pray for the Spirit of God to hover over, to bring a sweet peace to their mind, their soul, their will, and their emotions. Father, we pray for family members that give over and above, that they would be blessed, protected, prosper. And Father, we thank you for the veterans. And Father, I just make a commitment even now when I see somebody that I know needs a well-deserved cup of coffee or a thank you for serving or bringing a pie, doing a good deed, showing kindness, Father, that you would open the door, Father, for us to honor and respect men and women who serve this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Who can say we've already had church, right? Emotional roller coaster. Our Ignite group, that's our young people, 6th through 8th grade right now, are going to go with Peter and Ashley. We believe here at Family Worship Center on ministering the Word of God on every level, from our infant right up on into our high school, college age. So my name's Kathy Mazza. We just welcome you to Family Worship Center. We are continuing in our series, The Gladiators. The Gladiators, we are looking at men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and it goes on into Hebrews chapter 12. Men and women who, ordinary men and women, who've done extraordinary things, not on their own education, their own wisdom, their own wit, their own ability, but through God, and through God by faith. And we looked at this scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, if you have your Bible. I'm going to be using the NIV this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And the pen here, the writer says, therefore. That means he's tacking on. You know, it was man that took the scripture and divided it into chapter and verse so that we could follow. But the Spirit of God is saying, hey, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who would that be? That would be the men and women of faith in chapter 11, like Moses and Abraham and the Apostle Paul. Those ordinary people that have done extraordinary things. And then it also shows us in the Word of God that those of our loved ones that have gone before for us and moved to heaven, that they're there cheering us on. And it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. What is the Bible saying? The Bible's saying, hey, we're here, we're cheering you on, the race that you're running. What I love about chapter 11 is it shows us, again, ordinary people, people like you and I. I like to look at it like, if they did it, I can do it. If they've accomplished the race that God's put before them, so can I. It's important for us to realize that. And today, we're going to take out from the Hall of Fame, Rahab. Rahab. She is a woman who in most ordinary circumstances probably wouldn't make the Hall of Fame or Hall of Faith because Rahab had a name. Her name was Rahab the Harlot. Or we might think of today that would be called Rahab the Prostitute. That is what she was labeled as. How many of you know you can be labeled by your past sometimes, right? You grew up on that side of the track. Your family is known for this. Anybody ever been nicknamed in middle school? Maybe people knew you as that. They knew Rahab as Rahab the Prostitute. But her story is much more than that. Not just what she was labeled, but it's a story of refuge. It's a story of restoration. I often think of Rahab. She probably came to a time in her life that maybe she woke up one day and thought, I didn't plan for my life to turn out like this. Do you imagine when she was a little girl dreaming about what she was going to do in her future? I'm sure prostitution wasn't one of them. Having her door open and men coming in and out, using her. So she found herself in a place of disappointment. I wonder how many of us can look maybe back to our childhood. I didn't think I would be here now. I didn't think that I would be walking through this in disappointment. But Rahab's story is so much more. Because even this morning, just as the songs that we sing, God is so great how he orchestrates things. That one song about that he'll climb any mountain, kick any door, you know, that he's coming after you. The Spirit of God was going after Rahab. I mean, of all the people in Jericho, I mean, you go back to our children's church days, the flannel graph. Anybody grow up with the flannel graphs and the walls of Jericho? You know that they showed the two spies going in, coming out, and the report came to Joshua, and then Joshua will, you know, have Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. But her story is much greater because the story goes on to say that the two spies were there, and when her house was on the outside of the city in the wall, and that immediately the king's men realized, hey, those two spies, they weren't very good spies, they immediately found out that they were there, and they sent people, hey, Rahab, who's in your house? Are they here to defeat our land? Because people had heard of the great God of Israel, and it goes on to say that she had a choice right then. She had a choice to sell out those individuals or to lie and say, hey, they've left, they've gone ahead. Now, I am not condoning lying, but here, Rahab, in this choice, she could have lost her life. She made the choice to protect the men of God, and she made a deal with them and said, hey, if I protect you, when your God, the God of Israel, brings your men, will me and my family be saved? And it goes on to say, you're familiar with that story. God wrote her story, rewrote her story, told her, take this red rope, hang it out your window, and that will tell us not to attack your home. That red rope is a definition or a replica of what took place at the cross, the blood of Jesus being shed. Because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, our story is rewritten as Rahab. But we can find ourselves in a moment of disappointment when things don't go as we planned. But it says in Psalm chapter 139, it actually tells us all the days were written in God's book before they came to be. Well, okay, that's for your life, Kathy, but not about my life. I don't see how God could be writing my story when it's full of disappointment. Things aren't going as planned. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world, right? We're familiar with the scripture. There's two stories trying to be written because the Bible says that the thief comes what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. If he can rewrite your story from the original plan that God has, he will. But when we trust in him, in fact, I can think of a time in my life where things didn't go quite as planned. It was about 18 years ago. I found myself pregnant with our second child. In fact, is Nate in the room? His 18th birthday's coming up this coming Friday. But Nick was about 2 months old, and I went to the doctors and said, I feel like I'm pregnant. And the lady said, you always, you know, people that have babies, women, they just think they're pregnant. I'm like, no, I think I'm pregnant. I argued with her. She finally gave me a pregnancy test, and wow, I was pregnant. And so we can't kiss or anything. It's just like, stay away from me. I don't want to get pregnant. But the truth is, things didn't go as planned, because anybody know those cute little pregnant women? You know, they just have like the little bump, and they're all, and then there's the rest of us, right? I mean, I blew up. Second pregnancy so quick like that. And why am I telling you the story? Because things didn't go as planned. We were in the delivery room, and I mean, I was in pain, in despair, and I kept saying to the nurse, I mean, I'm screaming into a pillow, biting a pillow. I've done this before. This isn't how it's supposed to feel. And she says, no, the epidural's working. Everything's fine. Well, it just so happened that during that birthing, there was some complications. And I mean, just pain, excruciating pain. But can I just tell you, as a parent, and moms can say you agree with this, when they lay that baby in your arms, everything changes. You don't remember any of it. And it's a miracle of God. Can I just tell you, whatever you're birthing right now in your life, if it comes with disappointment, if it comes with pain, if it comes with struggle, it is worth it. Think of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The Bible says that with perseverance, I will see the work of God. With faith, I will see the work of God. If you're disappointed right now, if things aren't going as you thought they would, allow God to give you the answers. Allow God to pull you through. I knew we were going to make it with Nathan because I did it before with Nick. And see, you think, well, I don't know if I've done this before, but what about the hall of faith? Who has done this before? Who has made it? Who has seen God provide for them? That is what we're talking about this morning with Rahab. God had to rewrite her story. In fact, there's many people in the Bible. What about Noah? Noah was considered what? He was a drunk. What about Abraham? He was told that he was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. I mean, we can go on and on and on again with all the excuses of what if God did this, or should he do this? I mean, Joseph, he was hated by brothers, and by his brothers. Any sibling wars out there? Parents, just kind of shake that off. You don't want to go back to that. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid, and Rahab was a prostitute. And we could go on and on and on. But we all have a past. We all have labels. Rahab had a choice. She had to know that, hey, God is searching me in this time of darkness. Wherever you are in your life right now, history in God shows you that you can stick it out. You are an overcomer. Faith is believing me, or believing the word of God. You know, we have to just put aside those things that are out of our control and come to the cross. Build an altar before Jesus and say, I give you all of me and I trust in you. Do you know Rahab had to make that decision? She didn't know if her life was going to be saved or not. I mean, you go on to read the rest of that passage, and it shows you that they came and they walked around the walls of Jericho. Joshua, can you imagine on day one, the terror, the fear that she had to feel? Like, oh my gosh, they're here. What's happening? Day two, day three, all the way up to day seven. And this is how the miraculous working power of God works. Every stone was absolutely obliterated. Everybody was killed except for one tiny part of the wall. And that was where Rahab's room was, because of that red rope and that commitment, that covenant that she made with a living God. So you can't tell me that God can't rewrite your story, that he is seeking you. God seeks or searches for you to be in his story. He wants to rewrite your story. And in fact, God always makes a way for us to be in his story. How is that, Kathy? Look at Joshua chapter 2, verses 17. Joshua chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. This is the story of Rahab. And it goes on to say here how she made this deal with these men. They tied the scarlet cord. But I love this. It goes on to say, "But if you tell what you are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." And listen to what she said. "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." I'm telling you, when I read these words, it popped off the pages into my heart. "Agreed, let it be as you said." Let me ask you, what has God been speaking to you as a child of his? "Agreed, let it be as you said." Is it, "Well, I hear you, God, but have you seen this report? I hear you, God, but have you seen his behavior? I hear you, God, but have you seen these bills? I hear you, God, but have you, I feel so much pain in my body." She didn't have any excuse. She could have been, "I hear you, but do you know that I'm a prostitute? I hear you, but do you know all the rumors that go on about my life? I hear," she didn't say that. She said, "I hear you. Let it be as you say." What is God saying to you in your life now? And what is it that we have to trust him with? Rahab had to have faith. She didn't know that this God of Israel that split the Red Sea, that provided manna, I mean food to eat from the sky, that provided water out of a rock. She only heard these stories. She didn't know of this living God. And how much greater do we know? Because the Bible says, "Greater is he that lives in us." That Spirit, the Holy Spirit that provided for the children of Israel in the desert, he now lives on the inside of me. He now lives on the inside of you. So who's writing your story? Are we writing our story with excuses? Am I writing my story with what's been said over me, what the expectation of the world is around me? Or am I allowing God to write our story? God to write my story. Rahab had to apply the word of the Lord and say, "As you say it, I believe it." It's so important that we do that. God always makes a way for us to be in his story. God's story always has a redemptive ending. Always has a redemptive ending. In fact, just so happens, after they laid Nathan in my arms, and this is what all this work is for. And I turned to the nurse and I said, "I'm still in a little bit of pain." She took the tubing for the epidural and she's flicking it, and she goes, "You know what? Funny thing, this thing hasn't been working." I was like, "What? No wonder." She goes, "Oh, it must have had an air bubble or something." I was like, "Oh." But you know what? The redemptive story is that we were blessed with Nathan. And wherever you're at in your story, if it's in the beginning, if it's in the middle, if it's in the end, God is there. He is fighting for you. We've got to recognize that. We've got to realize that. In fact, I love this about Rahab and Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Matthew penned this by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. You got to think that this is a harlot. This is a prostitute who God chose. I don't think it was by accident that those two spies knocked on her door, went through her window, whatever it was. God chose her. And it says here, this is the genealogy Matthew's writing, he talks about 42. We skip over this, don't we, all these names? 42 grandfathers. It just so happens that Matthew inserts four grandmas in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me tell you about these four grandmas. It says here, Judah, the father of Perez, and Sierra, whose mother was Tamar. Can I just tell you, if you don't know Tamar's story, it's a story of darkness. There was the brother raped her. I mean, you can go on and read that in Genesis chapter 38. But her story was of heartbreak and of disappointment. But God chose her to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. There you go. Rahab rewriting the end of her story. She actually relocated back with the children of Israel, and she married what they would say the governor of a city. A prostitute marries into wealth and shelter and wholeness, and then goes on to have children. And it goes on to say here, whose mother was Ruth. Think about Ruth being in the lineage of Jesus. She didn't even belong. She wasn't even Jewish. There's no excuses. No excuses. It doesn't matter if you belong. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what's been spoken over you. They were called out to be the great, 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 great grandparent of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, and that would be Bathsheba. So why do you say this, Kathy? Because I believe Matthew penned through the Holy Spirit that it doesn't matter where we come from, what we've done, what's been spoken over us, God is still knocking at your door. His love is still pursuing you. His love is still saying, I have more for you to do. I have more. In fact, through Tamara's story, God will forgive the darkest of sins. Through Rahab's story, God will use you regardless of your past. And through Ruth's story, he doesn't leave anybody out. Nobody. The Bible says his eyes run to and fro. Whoever it is that just offers their heart. And then through Bathsheba's story, God can heal any situation. So we're looking at Rahab here. If she were on the stands of heaven cheering us on, and she were able to come down and just run one lap with us. Now, that's fictional. She's not actually going to do it. But I do believe that through the passages in the Word of God, instructions have been given to us in this race that we're running. And if Rahab were here this morning, I think she would say, God invites you to be part of his story. But it's your choice, Kathy. He's inviting you. He's knocking at your door. He's giving you these options. Are you going to close the door? Because I had a choice, Kathy. Rahab saying, I had a choice. I could have had fear overtake me and said, don't come in my home. But I chose. So allow Kathy, allow him to be part of your story. Join him. In fact, I wrote down, somewhere along the way, we have created our own version of the truth. Do you ever find somebody in that situation, they've believed a lie so long that it becomes their truth? We believe a lie in the church for so long that you have to be a certain way to be used in the church. You have to look a certain way. You have to have a certain education. You have to not cuss. You have to not smoke. You can't drink. Well, that's okay, but it can't define who you are and how God wants you to join him in this race. She would say, hey, I laid aside what people labeled me, and I joined him. That's what he's saying unto us. Our truth is designed to help us survive. We just make excuses. We're surviving when we wake up. I can't wait to get through Thanksgiving. I'm surviving if I could just get through Christmas. But God's truth is designed to help us thrive. Are we thriving? Are we believing that he's inviting us into his life to join him in this race? Number two, God wants to surprise you with his love, if we'll accept him. How many of you are familiar with Kanye West. He's a rapper, big time rapper. I have just wept over his story. Out of all the people in the world today, God chose to pursue him with love. If you don't know his background, he was all about sex and pornography and just putting down women in his rap songs and just almost at the top of the world in his game. And he came into, some depression and some health issues in his mind. And he says his story from his mouth, not rewritten by Hollywood, is that God pursued me with his love. God pursued me with his love, and it has changed my life. It has radically changed my life. And you hear after every single interview, the church might judge him and say, it's just a phase. He's just making some money. I don't believe it. I don't believe it one way. I believe that the love of God radically pursued him and changed his heart from the inside out. And now he's using that platform to pursue others, for others to come into a relationship with Christ. Is he doing it all perfect? Probably not. Do we do it all perfect? Probably not. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray that his platform reaches far and wide and that many people come into a relationship with Christ. So God wants to surprise you with his love. He wants you to accept him. When you accept him, that opens the platform for you to minister to others. God, number three, God wants you to love others with your actions. It's not okay to keep what he's done for us to ourselves. It's not okay to rejoice in just me, myself, and I. He wants us to take what he's done in our lives and share it with others. In fact, Martin Luther King says, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Everybody can be great because everyone can serve. You hear us talk about grow. Our class is next door. Why do we talk about those? Why do we offer those to you? So that you can find your purpose. So that you can actually allow the joy and the love and the peace that God is doing in your life, give that out to others. I often say, if you live in a reservoir where there's no water going in and out, and it's just a dirty pond, what takes place? The algae starts to grow on top. But when you have running water going in and going out, that's when life starts to happen. God is calling us to give. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 3, if you have your Bible there, 1 John chapter 3, this is how we can give. I just want to encourage someone today, your past is a part of God's preparation. Preparation so you can be a significant part of his plan. I believe maybe there's individuals in here that have had an abortion before. And maybe you're ashamed of that. Maybe you live in fear, like if anybody ever found out, what would they think? Would they judge me? I'm sorry that had happened to you. I'm sorry you were put in a situation to make that decision. But now allow God to use that as part of the plan and preparation to minister to others that are going through that. Maybe you're in here and you've had a divorce. And you cry at night thinking, how did I let this happen? I wish things could change. Well, you know what? It's happened. Allow God's grace to envelop you and wrap around you and cause your story to minister to somebody else. I'm tired of churches being shameful of mistakes and circumstances in our life. It's time to take off the mask. It's time to share what God's doing in our lives so we can help other people. Rahab, it goes on to say in James chapter 2, she's still called Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. She might be thinking, hey, wait a second. I'm not Rahab the prostitute anymore. I'm married to the governor, and I'm the grandparent of Jesus Christ. So why are you still calling me that? I believe that the Holy Spirit wrote that for you and I to say, it doesn't matter who you are, God still wants to use you. God still wants to use your story. It's so important. And then lastly, God signs his name on your story. We need to be thankful. So thankful for the things that we've gone through. So thankful for the opportunity to trust in Him. So thankful that I'm living for such a time as this. So thankful that I have a mouth that can pray and trust God. So thankful. And you fill in the blank. I'm going to close in the scripture if our music ministry will get ready to come forward in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It says, "This is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it." It goes on to say, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." I'm just telling you right now, there's situations sometimes in my life, periods of time that I think, God, I don't know if I can make it through this. Can I get out of bed today? Can I put one foot in front of the other? You can think of a time in your life maybe where you've been like that. Just discouragement, things out of my control, okay. If you don't know me, I can be somewhat of a control freak. But when it comes down to it and I come across a scripture like this, I think, oh my gosh, it's not about you, Kathy. It's not about what's going on underneath your roof. It's not about having it your way, because it goes back to the scripture. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what it's about. Rahab, if she were here and telling her story, she would say, don't get so wrapped up in the title. Don't get so wrapped up in things that you can't control. Trust in Him. Give it to the cross. It says, I am the worst of them all, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience and even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him. That's what our life is about, showing that others can believe in Him and receive eternal life. It goes on to say, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Who can say that today? God is God in my life. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, God is God, and I will trust Him. I will persevere in Him. I will choose to believe Him. I will choose joy. I will choose to have faith, regardless of circumstances, because He is God.